let's all stand up. Good morning. Glad you guys are here today. We're going to sing some songs.
We hear your voice when you call us out to the unknown, uncertain. You call to mind your ageless faithfulness to your people, your creation. We will look to you, the author of our lives.
Whatever pleases you will be our path, trading what we have for what we'll lack. We will seek your face, not your hand.
I need someone.
closer.
Come closer, closer to me. Find me broken, find me bleeding, 'cause I need more now than a fairy tale. God, you listen above. I need some real. So would you come? Would you come? If I begged you, would you come closer to me? If I begged you, would you come closer to me now?
Of the magic.
just thank you so much that you made a way for me because I need it. God, I know as well as I could do in this life, and as much as I strive to be great and perfect, I never will be that. And it's very exhausting for me, so I just give that up. And I just need more of you. I ask you to come closer today for me and for all my friends here today. Amen. Well, great job singing. You guys, you sound fantastic. Like, I almost literally wanted to switch places with you. You sound so good. There's not enough room up here to fit you all. So anyway, I didn't do that. But you did so good. I want to give you a chance to just kind of a whole minute here to talk and meet somebody brand new. I'm going to give you a topic, though, to help you out. So here it is. For March Madness, who's your pick? Your choices are Kentucky. That's it. It's your only choice, right?
That's right.
Go ahead.
Awesome stuff. Look, if you did not go to Big last month, you missed out. Let me tell you what. What's up, everybody? My name is Pat West, and I am all kinds of excited to tell you about Big, which is our new monthly event happening for anybody in grades 6 through 12 that we started last month, and it's happening again tonight, actually. I cannot wait for it. So if you're in middle school, you're in high school, you can clap for that. I'm excited about it. It's gonna be great. So if you're in middle school, you're in high school, get excited about it. We'll meet here at 5 o'clock. Last month, we went up to Oakley, had tons of food, tons of fun, tons of people were there. We had an awesome worship experience to finish the night off. Tonight, we'll be going up there same time. Be here by 5 o'clock. Don't get left. That would be awkward, like the bus driving on the road and you're chasing after it. I don't want that to happen. So be here by 5. We'll go up to Oakley, the info center. The Oakley atrium is going to be taking over with Super Smash Brothers. We'll have like 700-something pizza is there. And if you're the kind of person that says, I just want to chill and like take selfies and stuff, there's even selfie stations. So there's a spot for everybody there. Make sure you go. And if you're a parent, you're like, that sounds fun. I might want to be a part of it too. I mentioned that worship experience at the end of the night. We'll have that again tonight. If you show up at 6:40, there's actually space reserved in the auditorium for you to be there and be a part of that as well. So super exciting stuff. Can't wait for it. If you want to go, if you're deciding right now, like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna go to that. Go to crossroads.net/big, RSVP for us, even if it's after church today, just so we make sure we order enough pizza for you. And go to the atrium and the info center here. Get a waiver, show up. Nobody can get on the bus without a waiver filled out, so make sure you take care of that as well. Also, in student ministry, something else we're looking forward to is summertime, which I know with the warm weather, a lot of us are thinking it's getting warm finally. Well, this year, we have 2 weeks specifically that I think are going to be the best weeks of the season. We're going to camp this year. We have camps, two different ones specifically for students in grades 5 through 7, and we have another camp for students grades 8 through 12 currently that will go. One of them is called Engage. The other one's called Move. We'll actually be able to go out and be trained on how to serve the city all over Northern Kentucky and Cincinnati. It's going to be an awesome time. Go to crossroads.net/camp. You'll be able to sign up. You'll be able to find more info, get some of your questions answered there. So check that out. And something else happening a little before summer camp is Easter. I know Easter's coming up real soon. I'm excited about it. We actually have an experience designed specifically for this auditorium that I do not want you guys to miss. And as you're thinking Easter's coming up, I want to invite friends, I want to invite family. We want to create as much space as possible for you to do that. So Easter weekend, Saturday services, we'll actually have two of them, 3:30 and 5:30. So show up that weekend and be a part of that. And happening right after Easter, we have this thing called The Journey. And if you haven't been around Crossroads very long, you're probably wondering, like, what in the heck is this journey? It's a six-week experience that this week we're going to be looking at a topic or a journey that we're calling Brave. And it's going to be an opportunity for you to have every single week. If you are super young or super old or anywhere in between, you'll have opportunities to come here and learn from Main Stage. You'll have opportunities to connect us with individual challenges throughout the week. And you'll have a chance to be a part of a journey group. And if you're new around here, it is an awesome opportunity for you to get connected with new people and just realize that we're just trying to figure out what God has in store for us. So in order for this to happen, we need journey hosts. And I know I've mentioned a couple times, you might be new around here. You might not know what the journey is. That's fine. I'm talking to even you. If you have a pulse and you have a place to meet, you're prepared to be a journey host. Seriously, go to crossroads.net/journey. And seriously, a place and a pulse. And we want you to check this thing out. If you've never done the journey, if you've done the journey 10 times before, we'll give you all the training. We'll make it as simple as we possibly can for you to host a group this year. It'll be awesome. And before we move further, we're actually going to have an opportunity to be generous because around here, the journey, big, Easter services, everything that Crossroads does is made possible by just everyday people like me and you just being generous with our money and our resources. So here in a minute, there's going to be a bag that's going to come around. It's going to pass in front of you. You can drop some cash in there. If you want to give online, you can go to crossroads.net/give. You can even download a little fancy mobile app on your smartphone. And throughout this Wolfpack series, we've been looking at essential skills that we need to be a part of a Wolfpack. So check this out. And I'll see you guys at Big.
I'm Andy Lay, and this is Dude Skills. Dude skill number 6, first aid. Johnny.
Hi.
Remember that time we almost died?
Yeah.
You should always have a first aid kit with you when you go camping. If you don't have a first aid kit and you happen to break your leg, here's how to make a splint. All you need is duct tape and bourbon. Seriously though, if you're serious about camping, you need to have the bourbon. Here's how to make a splint. Find a straight stick and lay it parallel to your leg. Get some vines, string, or duct tape and wrap it tightly to the limb. You want to keep the limb as straight as possible to prevent further breakage. That was so dumb. That was awesome, though.
Is it me, or does it feel like we cut the budget for those things like 2 weeks ago? Anyway, hey, welcome to Crossroads. Really excited for you this weekend, especially if you're brand new. A couple things that, hey, I'm very, very excited for you to experience. The first one, we kick off something we call around here beans and rice this weekend. Going to be cool. We're going to talk more about that. Here's the other reason I'm really, really excited for you, especially if you're new. You're going to get to hear live from your favorite Asian pastor today. There's a story behind that, but you may be thinking, well, that's pretty assumptive, Terry. That's pretty assumptive. Hey, I'm the campus pastor around here. How many other Asian pastors you got? All right, I did the math. Ain't a lot of us, so I might be the only one, so I get to be the favorite one. But hey, anyways, I'm really, really excited for beans and rice. If you're brand new, here's why. I don't know if you've ever been invited to a friend's house and maybe you got in on something that their family did and you're like, oh my gosh, this game night is awesome. We wanna like continue doing this with you. I think you're gonna get to uniquely see the heart of this place today and some of the things that we care about. And I wanna invite you, you are welcome to join it. We want you to be a part of that. If you've been around here, you're going to get to be a part of doing something with purpose. We're talking about eating differently for a week so that we can see substantive change in our city across a few different initiatives. So everything I'm going to talk about today, it's all going to be going to one place, and that is I want everybody in here. I want everybody that's a part of the Wolf Pack, everybody that's a part of the team around the team, I want us to eat differently for a week to see our city and world change. Want us to eat differently for 1 week because I believe that as we do that, we're going to see our city and our world change. I'm going to talk about in just a moment some of the initiatives and some of the details on how you can engage in this week. But you need to be thinking right now, how am I going to do this? I just heard a challenge to eat differently for a week. How am I going to do this? And so for you, maybe it's one meal this week. Maybe that's your starting point to put your toe in the water. Maybe you do something different at lunch every day this week. Maybe you go aggressive. You're like, I'm doing all meals. Instead of what I'm normally going to eat, I'm going to eat beans and rice. I learned that the hard way. So I did this beans and rice thing 2 years ago, did it with my son, and it started going great. You know, we say, eat beans and rice. Oh, you're supposed to say, oh, isn't that cute? So we're eating beans and rice. Tyson loved beans and rice. It was awesome until day three, when it was like the worst diaper rash ever because everything that went in started coming out, and it was not good. It was not working out well. And so we learned what our family does. We supplement. We eat anything in our pantry, anything in our fridge. Any of that's fair game, but here's our goal. I care less about compliance and having a few people eat every meal beans and rice than I do about everybody being a part of this, everybody joining in and being on the team that's going to change the world. So for you, as you're thinking about, okay, maybe I'm going to do these meals, maybe I'm going to do dinner, here's how it works. If you were going to go to lunch, maybe you were going to go to Skyline and you would have spent $6.50 on a three-way and a Coke. Instead, you spend a dollar on beans and rice, you know that that difference is $4.50. And so you're going to put $5.50, yes. The difference is $5.50. You're going to set that aside and keep it. And so we're going to have an app. You can go details in your program. You can give as you go. You can just keep a running tally and bring it next week. But everyone's going to put something aside. So what our family's going to do, we're going to eat out of our pantry. So we're going to take what our normal grocery bill might be, maybe $150, and say, well, we spent $10 on beans and rice. That's $140 that we're going to bring next week. Maybe you're somebody that likes to eat good food. I love eating good food. So maybe you go to Grandview Tavern, spend $100 on the family. You do beans and rice at home, it's $10. You're going to set aside $90 for as many meals as you want to do. You want to do one meal, want to do 20 meals. That is totally great. We're going to come back together as a team and see what happens when everybody does something small. When everybody on the team does something small. Again, get creative. So for you, maybe you hate beans and rice. Totally cool. Maybe there's something else that you give up instead to open up funds. I mean, I heard somebody talking about doing a beer fast. That's a terrible idea, but you know, like, great if you want to do that. Like, great. And so whatever you want to do, man, let's have fun this week. Let's try something and see what happens when every single one of us eats differently. You want to know the initiatives we're going after? You want to know where we're going to see change in our city? Got four initiatives that I think are going to get you excited. You better get excited. First one, we want to build into the most vulnerable people in our city. And it's almost always in a city going to be the children in the city. You may not know, we have thousands of people across Northern Kentucky and Cincinnati that are part of the foster care and adoption system. And right now, I've heard up to 40% of them are being sent to other cities because we don't have enough families that are trained and stepping up to build into kids in the foster care system. We're not okay with that. And so we're partnering with an organization called Coalition of Care, and they're gonna train up more families, have more resources available so that any kids that need to be built into have access to the care. They get to stay around their biological families and get built into. Can we get excited around that? Can we get excited around that? By eating differently, we're gonna change how foster care looks in our city. Initiative number two. We have a serious poverty issue in our city. Cincinnati is one of the top 10 cities for poverty. Not okay with that. Last week, if you were here, man, we heard Kirk Perry talk about his story, a guy that's like responsible for 98% of Google's profits, who had been in poverty and had people help him up, give him a hand up. And that's what CityLink's all about. We did that last year. That was working with the working poor. We're going to work with a different group this year. We're going to build into, we have a growing homeless population. And so an awesome organization called City Gospel Mission, we partner them with things like Whiz Kids, a lot of other great things around our city. They're building a new facility that's going to have more beds and housing for the homeless, more transitional housing to get people on their feet, access to healthcare. We're going to literally help this facility get created. Does that sound like it's worth eating for a different week? Does it sound like it's worth eating for 1 week? I think so. Number three. There's a scourge in our city. It is the black plague of our time. It's an epidemic called heroin. And you may not know, if you look down your row right now, I guarantee you somebody's lost somebody to this thing. is not okay. Last year, we helped to invest so that pregnant moms would have a place they could go to get rehabilitation, and we invested in a place called Teen Challenge because we want to see more people get access to free scholarships to get help. This year, we're doing it all over again. We're going to provide even more scholarships so that people can get back on their feet, they can get rehabilitated, come to a place of wholeness. We're going to fight this thing head on. I'm very excited about that. Very excited. It's worth eating differently. Fourth initiative, this is the last one. This one's very, very different. This one's different to wrap our minds around. All three of the initiatives I talked about, these are all problems that we're having to deal with. They're downstream issues where we have real issues in our society of poverty and brokenness. And the kingdom of God's absolutely about investing in that. But that's not all the kingdom of God's about. The kingdom of God is also about things of beauty, things that bring joy, things that bring a sustainable life, and that's why we're going to invest in something upstream. We did this last year. It's an organization called Ocean Business Accelerator. It takes ideas that people have, accelerates them so they actually come to life and become businesses that are going to employ people, that are going to provide sustainability and wealth in our city. Did you know that 2/3 of jobs come through small businesses? 2/3 of jobs, and so we're going to help create more of that so that we have more people have access to have sustainable lives as they come out of poverty. I think that's worth eating differently for a week on, right? It's worth doing. So, will you join me? Will you join me? I want you thinking about, is it a meal? Is it all my meals? Is it something in between? Let me tell you, we're gonna have fun doing this. It's going to be a fun week as we do this, and I'll be excited as we come back together next weekend and we pull all of our funds. All the cash is going to go to this. If you go and log in, you can donate to the Beans and Rice Fund. We're going to see something powerful because 100% of the proceeds are going to go outside of Crossroads, and I believe we're going to see our city and world change because of it. Very excited to be a part of it, and I want to give you a taste of what it's going to look like this week. Check this out. Changing our world would be that much fun, really. It's going to be great. Beans and Rice kicking off tomorrow. Let's do this thing. But hey, kick us off. I just want to say, I have a confession to make. I'm a weird guy. Like, just tell you, I'm a weird guy. I think about stuff that maybe some of us think about, but I think most of us don't think about. I think about a lot of spiritual stuff during most of the week. Got really excited as we were talking about the topic we're going to talk about today. On top of that, I'm Asian and I'm weird, and so it meant this week I had to talk about this spiritual topic with somebody, and I totally brought a bar chart into it to make my point, and it totally worked. I totally landed the plane. Person got it. Like, that's just how my brain thinks, and I'm really excited. As we continue this Wolfpack series, we started off talking about a guy named David, and we were talking about how his life, he ended up being the king of Israel. He was kind of a big deal. But we talked about his life. We didn't talk about the most popular story. All of us know the story about being an underdog. We think about it anytime we think of an NCAA team that's coming against a powerhouse. It's David and Goliath, right? We all know the story, but if you've been under a rock, here's basically how the story goes. There's this giant that's over 7 feet tall, covered in armor. His name is Goliath. He's the bad guy. He's taunting the good guys. All the good guys over here were a bunch of weenies. They're like, oh, Goliath's taunting us. We don't know what to do. Like, they're just being a bunch of weenies. Well, somebody needs to do something. And then finally, a young guy named David, he steps up, takes a sling and a rock, wham, whacks him in the head. Goliath falls over dead, the end. It's a great story, wasn't it? Wasn't that a great story? So that's David and Goliath. The underdog beats the big guy. But man, here's a question I don't know if you've ever asked. How was he able to do it? How was it that David was able to overcome against all odds? Nobody else thought it could happen. How was he able to do it? You might be thinking, well, duh, Terry, he used a rock. Thank you, Captain Obvious. Like, that's very, very helpful. No, yes, he used a rock, but let me say, what would happen if you or I went to a 7-foot-tall dude and like wham and beamed him with a rock? We would probably just be remembering the hospital bill. Like, that's probably all that we would remember. It would not go well for us. So how was it that David was able to do that? What is it that you and I need to know and take away from the life of David? And I think I've uncovered something that you've never seen before in this story. There's something powerful that David knew about habits. He knew something powerful about the way that habits work in and through our lives. And here's the main point that I want to say. Where you direct your habits, you direct your life. Where you direct your habits, the thing you routinely and continuously do, that's the direction your life will go. And if you want to have a life of purpose, if you want to have a life that has any meaning to it all, and I think it's the reason that we're all here today, we want to have lives that have meaning, that have an impact, then you have to understand the power of habits in your life. And so we're going to look at David. We're going to uncover habits that he had that I believe are accessible to every one of us in here. And we're going to see what would happen. What would happen if we took some other habits we had and instead looked at these habits that David incorporated? I think something powerful is going to happen. I want to pray that we see that change today. So God, thank you for the way that you speak to us, sometimes individually. I pray that that happens, that we all just have an experience that gives us something tangible to do today. I pray we wouldn't just think differently, but there would be something we could latch onto that would help us understand you better, that would help us have better and more full lives that you've designed for us. Pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Do you know your habits? Do you know all the habits that you have? You probably have habits that you haven't even thought of. One of mine, I didn't even realize it. Every night, I have great intentions of setting my alarm clock. I'm like, I'm going to set it up. I'm going to get up early. And all of a sudden, beep, beep. What do I do? What do you do when the alarm goes up? Beep, beep, snooze. 9 minutes. Why is my 9 minutes? I don't know. It's 9 minutes. Like, why isn't it 10 minutes? 9 minutes, like, beep, beep, snooze. And I just keep hitting it until it's like, all right, it's absolutely time. I have to. I don't know why I don't just set my alarm and get up at the time that I need to. I've got this habit. Every time I walk in the kitchen, I can't help it. I have to walk to the refrigerator and peek in it. I just do it. I can't help it. I can be like completely full. I just finished a meal. I'm like, I better look in the refrigerator. There might be something good in here. I need to look in there. Other habits. I don't even think about it. Anybody else have this habit? I love cracking my knuckles. Wait, what? Oh, it feels so good. I think it gives you arthritis. I don't care. It's a habit. I love doing it. We're going to be looking at, though, where you direct your habits, you direct your life. One of my favorite habits, when I get in the car in the evening, I love turning on the radio. I put it on AM. I don't normally do it if I'm in the evening. It's my habit. And I look for Dave Ramsey. Love looking for Dave Ramsey. Anyone yell out debt-free? I'm surprised nobody yelled out debt-free. Somebody was thinking it. And so Dave Ramsey, if you don't know him, he's this financial guru guy. He helps people that have financial issues. And pretty much every call looks exactly the same. And you know why I listen to it, though? I don't need the financial advice. Like, I don't need more financial advice. There are times that I just need to hear how jacked up people's lives are so I feel way better about mine. I absolutely, yes, you know, come on. That's a good habit, right? And so here's what a call. If you haven't heard it, a call looks like this. And so Dave Ramsey, he's got a little country twang. He's like, and from Financial Peace Arena, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the fully paid off mortgage is replacing the BMW as the status symbol. Hey, caller, so tell me about what's going on. And then there's a guy that sounds like me. He's like, Dave Ramsey, I just can't get my life in order. Everything's messed up. All right, man, well, tell me how much you're making in a year. That sounds more like George Bush, too, by the way. I don't know why. I'm trying to get hit. I need to practice that. And so he says, yeah, I'm making like 45 grand a year. And he's like, okay, that's pretty good. But you got any debt? Like, what's going on there? And the guy says, well, yeah, I got a little debt. You know, I've bought 7 new cars in the past 5 years. That's stupid. You know, he's just like, come on. And here's what Dave Ramsey does, though. He says, you know what? You have to change your habits. You're going to start eating beans and rice. He's like, you know, he gets that. Where you direct your habits, you direct your life. He gets that. In fact, he's made an unbelievable career. He's made a lot of money understanding this idea that wherever you direct your habits, if you direct, you will either own your spending, or your spending will own you. where you direct your habits, you direct your life. We're going to be looking at this guy named David, the guy that fought Goliath. We're going to be looking at what the habits are. I want to start off, though, just giving us a description of who he is. This is what it says in the book of Acts about David. It says, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." I want to leave this up there. This is an interesting picture of who David is, because if it just said, well, he's a man after my own heart, oh, bless his heart. Like, I would read that and say, well, does that mean like he cried at movies and did yoga and Pilates? Like, what does that mean? And we start to understand, though, as it says he was a man after God's heart, it says he will do everything I want him to do. What we start to see in this is that wherever our habits are, our heart will be also. Wherever our habits and things that we routinely do and make regular, that's where our heart is. And David, because he looked for godly habits, he was a man after God's own heart. We're gonna be looking at how can we understand how that might work in our own lives. You probably know somebody who smokes. You probably know somebody who does that. And I have a feeling if you ask them when they got started, I bet you they didn't start and say, man, if I can just work it up to a pack a day, man, I'll really be smoking it up. This is going to be awesome. No. Why do people smoke so much? Is it because nicotine is really addictive? Absolutely. But is it also because it becomes a habit? It becomes a habit that directs our life. It's something that just started. Well, I had one before I went to bed at night. I have one when I wake up in the morning. Next thing you know, I have one every break time. Next thing you know, you can't get through a movie. You can't get through an hour-long TV show without having a cigarette because it becomes habit. Where you direct your habits, you direct your life. On the flip side of that, there's an organization called Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a really fascinating organization. It's arguably the most successful rehabilitation program and definitely the most heard about, most understood. And here's the weird thing. If you wanted to get somebody to stop drinking, don't you think you would probably just start off by yelling at them, you should stop drinking. You should get rid of all the alcohol in your house. Don't you think you would start there? They do something completely different, though. They say, you need to do 90 in 90. If you've been around AA, they say, start off by doing 90 in 90. Do 90 meetings in 90 days. It's really weird. They don't say, and when you're at the meeting, you've got to say this, you got to do this. No, they say, just go 90 meetings in 90 days. Why would they do that? Because they understand the power of habits, the power of making this thing a habit, where instead of going to alcohol for community, people are starting to go to a different place for a community and making a habit. Here's the other thing that they're tapping into. They know about habits. You don't break habits, you replace them. You don't break habits in your life, you have to replace them with something else. So if you just try to stop smoking, you're gonna have a hard time doing that. But if instead you try to replace that habit, you're going to have a much higher likelihood of success in doing that. You know why we created beans and rice? Too many of us have the habit of just believing that our small bit doesn't make a big difference, that our small bits don't matter. And we want to change that habit to show that when we do something small, and especially when we do it as a wolf pack, there can be big things that happen, big transformations that happen in our city. Big transformations that may happen in you. Here's the other thing that you have to know about habits is that all habits are not equal. All habits are not the same in their lives. There are a few habits that tend to have ripple effects that if you get these things in line, all of a sudden you start to see other things play out. Check out what this one researcher says. It's a part of New York Times. He said, some habits, in other words, matter more than others in remaking businesses and lives. These are keystone habits, and they can influence how people work, eat, play, live, spend, and communicate. Keystone habits start a process that over time transforms everything. Keystone habits say that success doesn't depend on getting every single thing right, but instead relies on identifying a few key priorities and fashioning them into powerful levers. Man, this is a really, really interesting idea, and I want to show you where this is probably true in your life. What happens when you start working out and making that a habit? Guess what else you start naturally doing when that happens? you start eating better. And when you start feeling better, you start resting better and you start sleeping better. All of a sudden, all these habits are like, they start falling into place. It's a keystone habit that holds all these other habits together. I wish somebody would have told me that there are keystone habits for your faith. Because too many of us believe that we have to have every single thing lined up and put together before we can take a step. And what this is reminding us is that, no, what we actually need is just the right direction and to begin on the right habits, and we can see unbelievable results and purpose and change in our lives. That's what we're going to talk about today. David, he did not have all the right answers. We talked a few weeks ago, he had some serious flaws in his life. And yet, because he knew the power of habits, he's somebody that we still remember, somebody that is still having an impact to this day. I want to start looking at what are keystone habits that all of us can do that will transform your life. Let's start off by looking at how David was described before he even got in the fight with Goliath. So the chapter before David and Goliath, this is 1 Samuel 16, it starts giving us this picture of what David looked like. It says this: "Behold, I've seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite who is skillful in playing." It means he was playing the harp. He loved to play on the strings. He enjoyed that. "A man of valor. He was courageous. A man of war. He was prudent in speech and a man of good presence. And, by the way, the Lord is with him." So there's this guy that, it's like, man, he's got like a lot of hobbies. Like, he likes playing the harp. He's playing the strings. The ladies love that. He's a guy that was courageous when something came up. He was all about stepping into it. Man, he could work a sling. Man, you need to kill something. He could go and take a rock. He could wing it at something. He was a slinger, not a swinger. Every time I say slinger, like, people hear that funny. This was a guy that had amazing hobbies in his life. Why do you think he was good at those things? What do you think he's good at working a sling and be able to hit an object that he wanted to hit? Do you know why? Because he liked doing it. Because he actually enjoyed doing those things. Isn't that why we get good at things? We start doing them a lot because we enjoy them and we get good at it. I don't know why in my walk with God, I spent many years believing that God wasn't happy until he just started squeezing out all the things that bring joy in my life. That he wasn't happy until he figured out a way to squeeze away my car and my bank account. He wasn't happy until he squeezed maybe my clothes and my dog and my cat. And if you have a cat, you probably should squeeze it away because they're not really very good animals. But he wasn't happy until he just squeezed those things out. Why would any of us feel that way? I think it's because we start to get this habit of believing that we have to be good enough for God. And you know the reality? That never works. It always disappoints, and I'm always going to feel like I need punished on the back end. But you know what? David got that. He said, "I know that I'm never going to be good enough for God." But he had this habit of thinking differently. We're going to peek into David's prayer journal. This would be weird to do for somebody else, but his prayer journal is called the Book of Psalms. And so we've got a lot of his prayer journal. We're going to look at what his relationship with God is and what we can take away from that. Let's look at a couple of these. First one: "How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you." I like abundant good things. Do you? He's like, God stored these things up. He's got tons of them for you if you're willing to look to God. Psalm 23, one of the most popular psalms. I had to memorize this as a kid. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." The Lord is my shepherd who wants you to have everything that you need in your life. And what does he do while he's at it? He makes you lie down in green pastures, leads you beside quiet waters, refreshes my soul. That sounds pretty good. Let's check out one more. It gives us insight into how David was thinking about God. He said, "How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from the river of your delights." Man, talking about God has good things. Can we be good enough for God? Yeah, we can. But David understood, man, he had a habit of believing that God had good things for him. First keystone habit. This is a habit. If you want to have a growing relationship with God, you want to have a purposeful life, you need to have this habit. It is the keystone habit of play. The keystone habit of play. I want to give you a question you can ask yourself so that you know, are you incorporating this habit in your life or not? And that question is, what are you excited about What are you excited about that opens you to the heart of God? Too many of us, we're doing a lot of things that don't give us any joy, and we're not doing enough things that actually do give us joy. And here's where we'll always end up. If we don't have something to look forward to, we won't have anything to be thankful for. Right? If we don't have something to look forward to and be excited about, we won't have anything to be thankful for in our lives. Started experiencing this at the end of 2014. It was around Thanksgiving. And we finished Thanksgiving. We had a great time here on Thanksgiving Eve. Had a good time with family on Thanksgiving. But April looked over and she said, "Do you realize that we don't have any vacations planned on the horizon?" And for me personally, that's an outage. I love looking forward to vacations. And I was thinking, gosh, this just crept up on us. Like, I had a habit of just getting out of it. We need to get back into the habit of play. And so Black Friday, did research with April, where we found that the only date coming up that we had open was going to be spring break 2015. And so the next day I went on Black Friday, booked a cruise, it's like robbery. It's like double the prices because it's spring break. The flights are triple. I'm sitting there like getting mad because I'm booking this. But let me tell you, I was very, very happy that I booked it. I love cruises. I don't know about you. You want to know what I love about cruises? Absolutely everything, except for paying for them. But let me tell you, when you go to dinner, they say, "So would you like the chicken, the beef, the steak, the pork?" "Yes, I would. Thank you very much. All of the above." You know, "Would you like the creme brulee or the ice cream?" "Yes, keep it coming." I mean, it might as well be a Brazilian steakhouse with one of those little things like, "Keep it green, keep it coming." I love it. And by the way, while other people are like traveling to go somewhere, I'm eating steaks and stuff, going to some beautiful destination that we're going to, drinking a frou-frou drink. It is awesome, awesome office. And so, but let me tell you, who benefits from me being excited? Who benefits from me being excited? Let me tell you, all the staff that are part of my team, volunteers around me, they benefit from that. They've been like, "Man, Terry is just in a good mood. He's a happy guy. He has something to look forward to," and they're better off for it. But you want to know who benefits the most? Me and God. Me and God. As I've had something to be excited about, my prayer life has never been better. My prayer life's never been better. I find myself just stopping in the middle of the day just saying, "God, man, how thankful am I that I can take a week vacation? That I can get away for a week. You've supplied me the means to do that. I have a team that's great. I have a campus that's supportive. Like, man, how amazing are you, God? Thank you." You know what? If you've had an issue where you feel like you're not connecting with God, you don't need to pray harder. Some people say, you need to pray harder. You know what? You need to play harder. You need to find something that's going to bring you joy in your life. It's going to connect you to the heart of God. What gets you excited that connects you to the heart of God? Because the direction of your habits will show the direction of your life. Where you direct them will direct your life. Now, some of you may be thinking, "Well, I can't afford it. I don't have a week-long vacation." Hey, I get that. I get that. And a year ago, I wouldn't have boasted about this. But let me tell you, I think this is an important thing for you to figure out. And so if you can't do a week vacation, can you find a weekend? Can you figure out a couple days? There are cheap options out there. One of the cheap options I did a couple weeks ago had something called Man Camp. Any man campers out there? Yes, there's a manly person over here. It was awesome. It was $35. We had the fun of getting up at 6 a.m. to go spend 30 hours in the snow, building campfires, having fun. And man, I tell you, it was good for me to have something to look forward to. And the bummer was, I was the least experienced camper. One of the guys on my team, really great dude named Steve, he said, "Terry," when he emailed the whole team, "you all need to bring at least 3 pairs of socks." I was like, "I don't want to listen to Steve. I'm bringing 2 pairs of socks. Thank you very much." And 2 hours in, I'm walking through and my boots are going squish, squish, squish. And it's snowing outside. That's bad. That's bad, by the way. Not good. And it was awesome. It was fun. It was something to look forward to. And it gave me something to continue to look forward to. I'm still connecting with those guys. Man, it doesn't have to be... But where do you have something that connects you to the heart of God? One of the best things you can give your family, your team, you want to know the best thing you can give your relationship with God? Is a fired up you. The best thing you can give to God is a fired up you. What gets you excited? Man, I hope we get excited about beans and rice. I hope it's something that we look forward to, not only changing the world, we get to have fun and play doing it. So a couple years ago, we were hanging out with friends with beans and rice, and we did Caribbean jerk beans and rice with Heath Bar rice pudding. Let me tell you, that was not roughing it. Like, it was actually fun to do that and try to come up with something. We're gonna get the opportunity to play and have fun doing beans and rice. We have to have the habit of play. Need to incorporate this. I'm telling you, David did it. He knew what play meant in his life, and you need to figure out, where is play in your life? Second habit. David hears about this battle that's getting ready to happen. He goes to check on his brothers because three of his older brothers were in the army. As he's going to check up on them, he hears kind of some arguing going on. This is what it says. Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now the Israelites have been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." I guess it depends on what his daughter looked like, if that was a big benefit or not. But man, getting out of taxes, that is a benefit, isn't it? But what were all the people doing? She had a great personality, I heard. She had a great personality. I'm just kidding. What were all the people doing is they're saying, Goliath's coming out and he's taunting us. He's taunting us. What are they doing? They're complaining. They had this habit of complaining and sometimes we call it venting or other things, but whenever we say the question, or who's gonna do something about this? You know what that is? That's complaining. And that's what they were doing. He came out day after day and people complained. Who's gonna do something? Somebody needs to do something about this. Have you ever had anything good in your life that came out of complaining? No. Nothing good comes out of that. Man, I have an interesting one. It's great being on staff at Crossroads. One of the things that's not great I'm gonna complain about is that we have a lot of meetings. We have many, many meetings. It's a bummer. I feel like I sit in meetings all day. But here's the great thing that comes with meetings is that when we have meetings, we oftentimes have free food. When we have free food, other people's meetings means there are leftover free food. And then back in the day when I had an office at our Oakley site, one of the busiest places was by the kitchen. And I kept the little corner area right next to the kitchen because a lot of times you get in your email, there'd be something like, "Hey, this meeting finished. There's free food left over." And I would be like Usain Bolt. I'd be like, "Wait, where's that email?" There it is. Bam! Like, let me go get some free food. It was great being right by the kitchen. Now, when I came to Florence, here's the bummer. You would get emails about food at other sites. So like, "Oh, we got great free food. It's in the kitchen." Not at Florence. So what I always wait to do is wait till we got something really, really good. And be like, "Hey, there's free food in the kitchen." Like really small letters, "In Florence." And then they have to find out the hard way. That's twisted. And that's funny right there. That's just funny right there. But man, I had this experience this past week, get an email. Not only did it say free food, that gets me excited, but I found out what gets me excited, food, absolutely. Like, man, I should be eating food, that's good. But got an email, it said not only free food, it said free food followed by Montgomery Inn. Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And so there's a big pan of barbecue, it said, and a pan of mac and cheese, and a pan of Saratoga chips. And I'm doing like a little party in my head, except that I'm sitting inside of a meeting. And so I'm like, you know what? I'll just make an excuse like, "Oh man, I really got a number two. I'll be right back." So I just ditch out of the meeting, book down the stairs. I get to the staff kitchen right in time to find three empty aluminum pans where there used to be barbecue, used to be mac and cheese, used to be Saratoga chips, and now there's just a big jug of Montgomery and barbecue sauce taunting and laughing at me. This is not cool, right? Not cool. And right at that time, somebody walks in the kitchen. And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? These are all empty. Who leaves empty containers in the kitchen? Doesn't do anything." And I storm out of the kitchen. I'm out of here. It's kind of a bummer when you're a pastor and you're like, "I'm going to talk about complaining this week. I think I just got done complaining a lot." I had to walk back in the kitchen, stack all the empty pans, throw them away. Just reminded me, complaining is a powerful habit. It was a really, really powerful habit in my life. few years ago when I realized where you direct your habits, you direct your life, and this complaining thing was running my life to the point where I was complaining all the time. And I used to have a really, really bad boss at a different company I worked for, but you know what? That doesn't mean that I need to complain about it all the time. And where I found out that this was an issue in my life, it was running my life, is when I accidentally butt-dialed that boss while I was complaining about him and proceeded to leave a 4-minute voicemail about complaining about him and what poor character he was, and I looked down at my phone and it's been recording that whole time. That's a bummer. That's not good. Like, don't recommend that for anybody's, like, you know, job search or whatever. That's not good. So I don't know if he just played it off like it didn't happen. I don't know if it was mumbled in the thing. I don't know what it is. But let me tell you, it's when I started to realize that I had a problem in complaining. It's a habit that we get into. But David knows that complaining is not a godly habit. Let's see how David responds. Everyone's complaining, saying somebody's got to do something. Here's what David says. He said to Saul, who was the king, he was leading all the charge, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Let nobody lose heart. I'm going to step in here. I'm going to do something about it. Second keystone habit that we have to have, it's the keystone habit of positivity. David was thinking and acting positively. He had the keystone habit of positivity. If you want to know whether you have this habit or if you're working it, ask yourself this question: what can I do to make things better? What can I do to make things better? One of the things that happened last year with Beans and Rice, and some of the story behind the story, is that I was a part of this group called Leadership Northern Kentucky. I had a friend invite me into it. It was a really cool way where I got connected with some of the issues in our region. And the whole purpose was to bring leaders together so that we can serve the Northern Kentucky community. I had no idea, though, that as I have a chance to visit courtrooms and see arraignments, that virtually 100% of the people that were in the courtrooms were there indirectly or directly related to heroin issues. People were stealing things. People were trafficking drugs and getting caught. Virtually 100% of them were related to that. I'd start to talk to police officers. They said, virtually 100% of the work that we're doing out there is related to this heroin thing. I'd start to have families come to me and start sharing stories about losing loved ones. I'd have people ask me to go do visits in the local jail because their son was in jail. I felt hopeless, and my knee-jerk reaction was to say, somebody's got to do something about this. But things didn't change until people around here, a team came together, and people started saying, what can I do to make this better? What can I do to make this better? And I started saying, hey, we can do something. I started finding hope in this, started tapping into God's heart. And so we ended up connecting with the Beans and Rice team last year. I want you to know, if it wasn't for this community, we wouldn't have been aggressively fighting heroin with Beans and Rice last year. We wouldn't be doing it this year because we asked the question, what can I do to make it better? I love that about this team. We're a team that loves making it better. Every time I come in on a weekend, I see people brewing coffee. You know what they're saying? They're asking the question, what can I do to make it better? If you use Kids Club, there are volunteers there that are saying, man, what can I do to make things better? I love that. It's a part of the team here. It's a part of how we operate. If you're new, I want to join you into the things that we do. Man, we got to make things better. I love people outside of Crossroads are doing it. One of the guys' names is Eric Northrup. He's a part of something called Capernaum. It's the special needs arm of Young Life. And around a year ago, he said, man, we need something to build into the special needs community. What if we hosted a prom for everybody in the special needs community and hosted it at Crossroads? I was like, man, that is an interesting idea. It would not have happened. Look at that. I'll tell you, people were having joy. It was one of the most amazing things we've ever done in this building because somebody said, what can I do to make it better? Because Eric stepped up. That's continuing to happen. I love that there are women in our community that are part of something called Go Pantry. And this all happened because they found out that there were kids in our community. Moms found out there were other students that were going to school with their kids that didn't have enough groceries to get through the week. And as a result, they started pulling groceries in their basement. That's a picture in their basement. And they started feeding hundreds of kids every week by anonymously dropping them off at the school. And those kids get to take home meals. They get to know that there are people that care about them because somebody said, "What can I do to make things better?" We never change the world through the habit of complaining. But when we start to ask, what can I do to make things better? Let me tell you, the world changes. You want to know what beans and rice is about? It's all about us asking that question. What can I do to make things better? Because if you hear those issues that I'm talking about, those are Goliath-sized issues. Homelessness, poverty, foster care, those are huge things ahead of us. And we only make a dent in those when we start to say, what can I do to make it better? We start having a habit of being positive. This is what made David's life really, really powerful. We've got to tap into that. One more keystone habit. Last one, David says, I will kill Goliath. I will stand in the gap. I will take this on. I will be positive. And here's how the king responded to him. He said, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. As you go after the heart of God, you know what will always happen? You will meet resistance. I'm going to tell you, when you meet resistance, you just might be going after the right thing. You'll always get resistance when you go after the right thing. And I love how David responds here. The king says, you can't do this. And David said to Saul, your servant's been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine, that's a weird word to say in church, by the way, uncircumcised Philistine, will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. David was persistent. He said, I feel the resistance. I feel it. You don't think I can do it, but I'm going to be persistent. I'm going to tell you why this, and I'm not going to give up. What was the habit that David had? He had the habit of play. He had the habit of positivity. But David also had the keystone habit of persistence. The keystone habit of persistence. And he would ask this question, where can I grow now? Where can I grow now? Not where can I grow when it's comfortable, not where might I grow in a couple weeks. You would say, where can I grow and have an impact right now? Interesting. So he changes Saul's mind. Let's look at what he does as he gets ready to approach Goliath. It says he took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of a shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Took his staff, it's probably just what he would regularly do in case he needed to fend something off, and he picked up 5 stones. Why would he pick up 5 stones? What's up with that? He picked up 5 stones. Was it because that's what he always did? It might have been a habit for him. He just had a habit. He'd pick up 5 stones. That's what he always do. I think he had a habit of being persistent. He said, it might take 5 times. I might have to sling 5 times. I might have to sling 10 and pick up 5 more, but I'm going to be persistent, and I'm going to see this thing through. Where can you grow today? That's the question. Where can I grow today? I want to give you a little bit more of the story behind the story with beans and rice last year. As we as a campus came together and we said, we want to fight this heroin epidemic. We want to provide more access to treatment for people. We brought it to the committee that was doing beans and rice. And the first answer we got was, it's a great idea, but we're too late in the game, so it's a no. Went home and I didn't feel good about it. I just felt like, No, this is too important to give up on. I believe this is going after the heart of God. So went back the next day, met with some of that committee again. I was saying, guys, this is important. We need to do this. And I heard no again. And they said, this is a great initiative for next year. Put it off. You can do it next year. It's like, man, feel like I'm not supposed to give up on this. I feel like I'm supposed to be persistent. I need to keep following through on this. So I met with my boss, and I said, Kathy, I'm telling you, I think we're missing if we don't do this as a part of Beans and Rice, but here's what I'm going to do. If we don't do that this year as a part of Beans and Rice, I will take all the budget that I'm responsible for, all my director's budget, and I'm going to put all of it 100% towards providing access to treatment, because I'm telling you, we have to do something. And she looked at me and said, then your campus may be suffering, but that's what you need to do then. And she asked me, did you talk to Brian yet? Did you talk to Brian Tome? Why don't we go talk to him together? Went and talked with Brian. I said, Brian, I'm telling you, I feel like we're supposed to do this thing. He said, it is late in the game, but let me talk to him. Let me talk to him and see what happens. Pretty powerful thing happens when Brian starts talking to other people that are part of the staff. And one by one, people started coming around. One by one, people started changing their minds. And we had no idea that it was going to be the biggest single initiative of the four that we did last year. We didn't know that would continue having an impact this year. We had no idea that I was going to get people that would email, people that would actually send, this is a handwritten letter, this is better than an email, a handwritten letter explaining what it meant that we made this a part of Rice and Beans last year. This is a letter from a guy named Terry Smith. He received one of the scholarships that we helped to fund by Eating Differently. And it says Dear Crossroads, but I want to say Dear Crossroads Florence. It was this team, it was this community that came together to make this happen. Here's what it says. It says, my name is Terry Smith. I'm a student at Chad's Hope in Manchester, Kentucky. I entered the program on June 2nd, 2014. I'm graduating the program on January 22nd, 2015. I want you to understand that none of this would have been possible for me without your support. A lot of forgiveness and restoration has taken place since I've been here. God has restored my family and has given us true forgiveness. See, my wife and I have been divorced for 7 years. We only first began to talk to each other in May of 2014. Remember, I entered Chad's Hope on June 2nd, 2014. God is so good to us. On November 21st, 2014, right here at Chad's Hope, our director remarried my wife and I. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if words could ever express how thankful I am to Christ who died on that cross for me and how your unselfish giving has changed my life. There's a song titled Thank You by Ray Bolts. It expresses how I feel. So from my wife, my children, my grandchildren, and myself, thank you, Terry Smith. What would have happened if we hadn't been persistent? What would have happened if we as a community chose not to be persistent? I can tell you, we wouldn't have seen this. I would do Beans and Rice 100 times to see this happen. I would do it 100 times to see that happen. And what you need to hear, you'll never get to what's next until you're faithful with right now. You want to get to what's next in your life. You never get to what's next until you're faithful with right now. And God's saying, I want to build godly habits in you. I want to build godly habits that give you more of my heart in your life. It's why we're going to do Beans and Rice together. Is anybody excited about Beans and Rice? Is anyone willing to eat differently to see more of that happen? I would do it 100 times to see that happen. I would do that. As you do those things, as you incorporate the habit of play, as you incorporate the habit of being positive and persistent, I believe what God's going to do, he's going to change the world. I think we're going to see an epidemic changed. I think we're going to see big issues like homelessness, foster care, faith and character in the business community change. But you don't know the biggest thing that God's going to change? You and your heart. You and your heart. Last verse I want to share with you, it's in 2 Chronicles, and it just talks about what God is looking for. It says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those who are fully committed to him. He's looking for people to say, whose heart's after my heart? Who's building into these habits? Who am I going to pour into and strengthen because they have the heart that I have? We're going to have the opportunity to do that. Not to think, we're going to have the opportunity to do it with Beans and Rice. Let's do it this week. Let me pray. God, I just want to say how thankful I am that you let us be a part of the work that you're doing. You let us be a part of the good stuff. And actually, your habits are good habits. They're habits that aren't only good for us, they give us more of your heart. God, I pray that you would make us doers, that we'd be willing to try something small, but being expectant that you're going to show up big. Help us to believe that more today. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Let's do it this week, all right? Have a great one. We'll see you next week.